Muscle Girls Inc. The Next Generation. Get full access into the world of women's bodybuilding, women's physique, figure, fitness, and bikini. Here are your hosts, Diana Dahlgren and Christina Voynich.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc. This is Christina Voynich, and I'm here with my co-host, Diana Dahlgren. Diana, what is up?
What's going on, girl? How are you doing this week?
I'm good. You know, I've got junior nationals this weekend, so I'm just kind of cruising along. I just got my bikini in yesterday.
So what color is it?
It'll be a surprise. I don't like to give away my secrets before I step on stage.
Oh, okay. Well, it better be looking hot because you're brunette, you know. You got to have a color that pops on that black brown hair.
Yeah, you know, it's the hardest thing for me is that I've been known to wear dark colors. It's so funny. I've worked with Tony Mitchell. He's with OAMG. He does a photographer. And every time I've shot with him or my hair and makeup gal that does all my stuff for the show is Catrell. She gets so pissed at me because I always wear black. I'm always in like black and white. So I'm like, I'm always so tempted to get like a black bikini or dark bikini because that's just what I feel most comfortable in. But this time Michael picked it out. It's not a color I ever wear. So
maybe it's pink.
We will see. We will see. Although, you know, it's just like a weight off your shoulder once you finally get it in. So.
Oh, yeah, totally. I know. I see. I follow a bunch of girls that I know who train with my trainer, and they're all getting ready for junior nationals as well. And they're all tweeting, I just got my competition suit in. So everyone's getting excited. It's that time of week where you starting to get really prepared. You're either getting the jitters or you're either relaxed and you're like, I got this. No problem.
Yeah, I feel pretty good. You know, over the weekend, Mike was gone. He was guest posing at a show down in Louisiana and I had the dogs and I actually took the dogs to the vet today because like they had to get their rabies shots. But here's the thing. Anytime he's gone for a weekend or for an extended period of time, our female dog like gets sick. It's like she has separation anxiety. So I've got like, you know, explosive bowel movements happening in the hallway. I've got her running outside, going to the bathroom. There's just like in her crate. So it's like this weekend is like, it's like my downtime weekend. I wasn't traveling. I'm home alone with the dogs. I can relax. And I'm having to deal with a dog that's so sad that daddy's away. And she's like crapping everywhere. So,
oh no, yeah. That sucks.
Needless to say, I'm glad he's home because now I don't have to deal with that. And the second, of course, this is what happened. The second he comes home and he takes her outside to go to the bathroom, it's like completely solid. She's completely cured. She's fine. So
I know. It's crazy how animals get. They're kind of like humans. Humans get separation anxiety too.
So
what about you? What do you do when he's gone?
I didn't do anything this time. I take that back. I had my cheat meal with some girlfriends. A friend of mine just moved and I went to their house and I, you know, went away for a few hours to my girlfriend's house and had a nice, fun dinner. But usually I just kind of sit at home. So it was nice. It was just a quiet weekend, but I was glad that he was coming home because then I didn't have a sick dog anymore. Thank God.
Are you a homebody?
No. What about you? I know you live like in the city. You're an LA girl, so.
Oh yeah, girl, but I never go out.
I was gonna say, we usually don't either. We usually don't go out too much. I'd rather just almost sit at home and watch a movie or, you know, order in some food if it's a weekend night, you know?
I know. I really, you know, update with me. I've been living in LA for the last year and I just can't stand it. You know, I try to keep bite my tongue and try and make it. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Oh my God. I just choked on my words.
Are you okay?
I tried to make it work. And you know what? It sucks. Seriously. I grew up on a ranch, like acreage. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm moving back home. I'm actually here right now. And I'm at my family's house and moving over the next few weeks. So I'm really excited. I'm happy to be home. And plus, I'll be near my trainer. He lives in Temecula. He lives only about, like, his facility is a little bit down the road from me, a few miles. So it would be nice.
How far are you from the city now, then, now that you're moving back to your parents?
I'm 2 hours away.
Okay, so I guess it's not, like, completely awful that if you do need a weekend there or if you need to do a shoot there or a job there, you know, it's not, like, so far away.
Yeah, exactly. It's not far away at all. I like made it work before. And then I decided that I was like, you know what? I just want to move there. I'd gotten out of my relationship, my ex-boyfriend. And I was just like, you know what? I'm getting out of here. And that's what I did. And now I'm like, I'm so happy I'm moving back. It's been a year and I'm like, thank the Lord Jesus.
Now, what's it like at your parents' house? Because it's so funny. I don't know if my parents are listening. I love you, Mom and Dad. I just have to say that first. But I don't think I could ever move back home. I moved out when I went to college. So I was about 18. I moved about 4.5 hours away. My family's from St. Louis. So I moved up to the Chicago area. And, you know, I'm 25 now. So I've been out of the house for like, you know, 7 years. And anytime like I'm having a rough day or I'm having a tough time, you know, my mom's always like, oh, honey, you can always move back home. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to get over this real quick. I'm going to bust through the obstacles and overcome this because I'm not moving home as much as I love my family. So what's it like at your house? Like, is your family cool? Do they like try to set boundaries or anything, even though you're an adult?
No, they always say, like my last week, my dad, when I made my first load back here last week, my dad was like, oh, you think it's a free for all? You're just going to come back here and everything's all, you know, whatever, free for all. He's all like, no. And I'm like, he tries and gets all macho in front of my siblings because my brother was there. But you want to know something? I'm a huge family person. I think that's the main reason why I'm moving back is like I miss my parents and my family severely. Like I have a little niece and I feel like she doesn't even know me anymore because auntie's never even around anymore.
Yeah.
So that's the thing is like I'm okay moving back home because my parents are like gone during the day. And plus I've been a free spirit since I was a young teenager. I used to sneak out of the house all the time and they would know. And and then when I turned 18, I mean, I basically have been on the road since I was 18 doing spokesmodel positions. So they pretty much are like, as long as you just check in with us when you get to the airport and like let us know you landed safe and everything, like you're good to go. Like they pretty much leave me alone. Just the only thing is, here's a funny story for you. My mom came in my room last week. She's like, okay, so what are your plans? And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, are you going to go back to school? Like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, you know, I'm going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'm just going to live here. And she's like, okay. And she's like, when do you want to move out again? And I'm like, you know, I want to move out at the end of the year, like probably to Orange County, like the beach. And she's like, really? Why? And I'm like, you know, I've talked about this guy that I've been hanging out with quite a bit on the radio show. He lives in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually going to see him after Chicago. I'm so excited. But
nice.
he comes back like November, December. And, you know, the last few months before he left to Kentucky a few weeks ago, you know, he could come up to my house up in L.A. I could go down to his house in Orange County. Like, it worked out really well. So I was telling my mom, I'm like, Mom, I'll probably move out the end of the year because I'll just say his name, Ryan. I'm like, Ryan's going to be coming back and like, I don't want him to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable. Like, I'm not comfortable with him coming here and like having him spend the night because he lives in Orange County and it's a 40 minute drive. And she's like, well, yeah, you think you're going to be having sex in my house? And I just started laughing. I'm like, I'm all, well, yeah, I would have sex in your house. But I didn't say that, you know, I didn't want to make her mad. But anyways, I was telling Ryan this story. I'm like, oh yeah, like I tried to tell my mom, you know, I'm moving out in 6 months when you come home because I'm not going to be having sex with you in her house. And he's like, you told her that? I'm like, yeah, she asked, so why not?
You know? I was going to say, that would be like so awkward, like, especially if your parents like walk in like at your house or at their house. Even though you're old enough, you know, you're like an adult, you've been on your own, you've been out of their house before, but still, my parents still get a little like, you guys are going to sleep in the same bed under my roof? You're not married. Like, it's
okay. Yeah, exactly.
It's okay. We live under the same roof now at our house and we're not married.
Times are a bit different, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, I understand it though, just because, you know, it's a different generation and nowadays, you know, it's so rare for people to be dating and then not move in together until they're husband and wife. Like, that just seems so strange now. It's more likely, obviously, the people live together. And I firmly believe that that is like a great idea to live together for like a year or so before you get married, because you realize the quirks and the nuances and little annoying crap that the other person does. And you have to decide if it's worth dealing with the rest of your life or not.
Oh, yeah, totally. A lot of people say that. And I completely agree. You know, it's like if you can't stand him when you don't live together, just imagine what it's going to be like when you do move in with him.
Yeah, it would be like crazy.
Yeah, that just doesn't work right there. So I completely agree. You know, you got to see if you can stay with a person overnight, and then overnight leads to a few days, and then it's going to be interesting because I'm going to Kentucky after Junior Nationals. I'm going to be going to Junior Nationals for GNC, and on Sunday I fly down to Kentucky for the week, and it's going to be interesting to see because Ryan usually is up training. He's an athlete and he's up training every day, but this past weekend he got hurt. So he like, we were talking and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to be laying on the couch, you know, when you come. So I won't be busy a whole lot because we were planning on him being busy during the morning. That way I could go train because I still have to train for my show. And then he'd come back and then we would have the rest of the day together. So this time I'm like, this morning I told him all, you can't be making fun of me because I'm going to be running a lot and I'm going to be dieting a lot and I'm going to be doing what I need to do. And so just don't make fun of me. He's like, no, you got to do what you got to do. It's all cool. I'm like, that's, okay, good. That's good.
Now, I want you to tell everyone the story you told me off the air because you had quite the experience running today. And I think people can appreciate this story. So now you had to tell it.
Yeah. So I run when I live at home. When I live at my parents' house, I have this running loop that I do. And on the last part of the running loop, it's this long straight roadway. And no one ever goes down it. And it's just fields on each side. And there's a road closure on the other side of basically town. So a lot of people are taking this road today. So I'm running down it and there's like one car coming down. I happen to see a cop and I'm like, man, I gotta go pee. Like, hurry up, cop, and pass so I can, there's a little ditch way how when you get halfway down the road and I usually run down in that ditch and like go to the bathroom real quick and then keep on running. And so he passes me and I wait until he like gets far enough to where he's like almost at the end of the road. And so I hop over a little fence and I just pop a squat and start peeing. And by the time I get up and I keep on running, I'm like back out onto the roadway and running. He's coming towards me. He had turned around and he rolls down his window. And he's like saying something to me and I have my headphones on so I can't hear him. So I take him off. I'm like, what'd you just say? And he's like, don't tell me you were just peeing. And I'm like, no, I wasn't peeing. And I just put my headphones on and I kept on going. And he was like, he was kind of laughing, but you know, he was going to be giving me a ticket if I would have said, yeah, I was peeing just now. So I just kept on running. I just ignored him and kept on running. And then thank God I didn't turn around and look at him or anything. He just turned around and then jetted off and went past me. And I'm like, thank God, because that probably would have been a fine. And I don't know if you heard me earlier. I just got done at court this morning for a speeding ticket violation. So I'm like, please no more speeding ticket violations. Like, I've had to deal with the courts already today. I don't want to deal with the cops anymore.
I was going to say, like, I would have anticipated, like, Aaron and I on our Axis Bodybuilding, you know, bodybuilding gossip show would have to be, like, IFBB Bikini Pro, like, arrested for indecent exposure. I'd have the exclusive.
All for training. Oh, Aaron's so funny. He texted me, or he messaged me on Twitter, and he's like, hey, it was he's like, sorry I didn't get to see you. Sorry I didn't get to see you this weekend. And I'm all, at least you got to see my fat ass on stage. And he's all, hey, fat ass still looks good. I'm all right, sweet.
I love Aaron. Oh, Aaron Singerman. He's my buddy.
He's funny.
He's good. Well, I wanted to let everyone know. So at the end of the show today, we've got Nicole Ball, and she's been a big request for an interview. She's a female bodybuilder, IFBB pro. Lots of people have been asking about her. She's pretty much a fan favorite. You know, she's sponsored by Species, I believe, still. And everybody loves Nicole. So we were lucky enough that we had the chance to speak with her. She got a really cool story just about how she got started into bodybuilding. She used to own a restaurant, so she talks about that, her family history, all of that jazz. She's actually competing at the Toronto Pro coming up this weekend, so I wanted to make sure we got her on the show before she steps on stage. So we were chatting, and one thing that she'll talk a lot about is actually the fact that she struggled with an eating disorder before she became a bodybuilder. And I think this is, like, Dana, I think this is a good topic to talk about just because, like, I as women, and this was my problem, as a woman, I think often we're taught to not eat unless we're hungry. So half the time, if I wasn't hungry, I wouldn't eat. So if I was eating two meals a day, I was like completely satisfied and I didn't eat anything. And if I had some hunger pains, like I could just drink like a Coca-Cola and I would like have carbs and sugar and some calories and then I wouldn't be hungry anymore. So I was reading because, you know, going from bulimia like Nicole had into a female bodybuilder is a huge step. And in the interview, you know, everyone will hear she talks a lot about what that transition was like. But I was reading the other day, it was like on, it was an AP article from a couple years ago on MSNBC and MSNBC.com. And it was talking about how teenage girls who read magazine articles about dieting are more likely in about 5 years to have some type of eating disorder, whether it's like extreme weight loss or it's like bulimia or something like that, compared to, you know, boys who read it. So, and I don't know about you, and I wanted to ask you this. When I was a kid and when I was like even 15, 16, 17, I was reading, actually, I'll say younger than that. I'll say more like 10 to 13, because I think that's kind of where these girls are, like middle school, junior high. I was reading like the Teen Beat and like the Beat Bop magazine. I don't even remember what they were called, but like, you know, the 15 magazine where it had the equivalent of Justin Bieber, which back then was like Hanson
and Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. And JTT and all these guys and like the Spice Girls, they had all that. And that we didn't talk about weight loss at all, but I think maybe the photos, you know, of these thin girls might have triggered some anorexia. But what was your experience? Did you ever... Because I didn't, and I don't know if it was because I was already thin as a kid, so I didn't even think about it. But did you ever think about that when you were young?
No, I didn't even really know what eating disorders were until I got into, like, probably high school. They started saying, like, oh, that girl, she doesn't eat, or, you know, that girl, she throws up after she eats. And I'm like, what is that, you know? I was always a really healthy kid growing up. I was a gymnast growing up. So I was always hungry and I was a ripped little girl. So I would always eat and it would go right through me. So I was always able to eat a lot. And that is where my eating has screwed me up being an adult and competing, because my body, I work out and my body tells me, okay, now eat, right? Well, I didn't eat. I end up binging. I think we talked about this when we first started our show, is like so many different girls have so many different, you know, philosophies and whatnot with food or different habits and stuff. And, you know, if you overcome that as a competitor, especially as a competitor, it's definitely an amazing thing. And I was just telling Isaac Kynes over at Hard Body this morning, like, you know, competing is like the most spiritual, most mental, physical, demanding thing you could ever do to your mind, soul, body, heart, and everything. It takes tremendous, you know, commitment to the sport and to that competition date to do it. And anyone who can get through something like that and comes out on top is just absolutely amazing.
Well, it's crazy. In this article, I just pulled it up. They interviewed 2,516 middle school students. I haven't a clue how the hell they came up with that number, but that's kind of a random number. But and they said of all of those, 44% of the girls said that they liked reading, or they did read diet articles frequently. And there was a significant change in their weight loss and their eating behavior. I think they did this over the course of like 5 years. They measured girls in like 1999 and then again in 2004. And they had said that it was the eating, it was the articles that had formed, you know, how they thought about their body. And I know you and I talked about this last week, and I don't know if everyone remembers this too. We were talking about articles, how in magazines nowadays and in health and fitness magazines, especially the ones like Cosmo and 17 and, you know, Shape, those type of magazines, they're promoting weight loss and things like that, but they're not necessarily the best, you know, the best methods. They're kind of so-so, and they're kind of, well, kind of, sort of, here's a good salad that you can eat, even though there's no protein in it, and here's some good running exercises, and they are probably not promoting weight training. So it's like, you know, just some vegetables and some salad and some cardio outside, and you're living a healthy diet. We talked about before, too, about organic foods, how you can go to the organic, you know, either it's Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, and you can buy organic food, but if it's organic pizza, it really doesn't make that big of a difference.
It really, yeah, exactly. But you want to know something, too, is I always used to think like that, too, is like, I can't believe these women think they eat a salad with, like, you know, all these ingredients on it, and they think that's healthy, and it's just like, I guess what America, we're used to being around people who take care of themselves and like read more magazines and go to internet websites that are more in depth with real nutrition and health and fitness. Whereas the general public, you got to remember that they, if they didn't grow up with their parents educating them at all about food and like a lot of city kids, I noticed they like fast food, then they have no understanding at all. So when these magazines write that, oh, go for a 30-minute jog, you know, three times a week, or a 30-minute, like, I see the walking magazine at the grocery store, and I'm all, what the hell does walking do for you? Mm-hmm. It doesn't do anything. But the thing is, I mean, for me and for you, walking wouldn't do anything. But you got to think about the general public. They're obese, and all they do is, you know, pound down McDonald's or Burger King or whatever it may be, or they eat pasta at home or whatever. And so having a salad to them would be a big step in replace of, you know, country fried chicken or, you know, Mexican quesadillas or whatever it may be. So that's where you got to think like, oh, okay, that is why they, that's why these magazines are afloat, is because the general population doesn't think chicken, grilled chicken breast is like the healthiest thing. Like, I've had girls be like, oh, you can eat grilled chicken breast? I'm like, yeah, what do you mean you can eat grilled chicken breast? They're like, okay, well, what about salmon? And I'm like, salmon's good, but it also is really fatty. I mean, you shouldn't be powering down salmon every day, you know? It's like, you still gotta like, you gotta really just take heart all the nutrition facts and labels and calories and all that.
Well, and I think a lot of times these magazines sometimes make it more difficult than it needs to be. And some of them, I will say for the most part, they're kind of sort of on par. But, you know, like you said, you know, people that are used to eating the McDonald's burgers, well, a good way to, you know, change that is say, well, why don't you go make some sirloin? You can make beef tips or ground beef or lean beef, and make, you know, like a burger without the bun and without the fat, and you get really lean meat, and you can put the seasoning on it, the Mrs. Dash, with, you know, no calories, no carbs, no whatever, you know, just as a transition into starting to eat it cleaner and cleaner. So there's ways that you can do it. Another thing that the article said too, which I thought was interesting, was, you know, you want to blame the magazines, but it's also the parents and the mothers who have these magazines at home. You know, yeah. The girls aren't necessarily going to the 13-year-old girls aren't going to the grocery store and reading them themselves. They're reading the magazine that mom has in the bathroom or mom has on the counter, and they're looking at it. And whether or not they're actually reading it word for word, they're at least looking at it, and it says, you know, shed 10 pounds in 4 weeks. They're thinking, oh, well, I'm supposed to look like the girl on this cover. And even like, you know, gymnasts, for example, young gymnasts are still a little thicker. They're a little muscular. Dancers even sometimes are a little thicker and muscular. And they're living a healthy life. The only problem is that they're seeing someone that's thin on the cover of a magazine or on the inside of a magazine or something. And they're thinking, oh, I don't look like that. I'll tell you this story real quick. A friend of mine that I used to work with, her daughter is almost an Olympic gymnast. She's kind of at the top of the amateurs, and she's like 9 years old, right? And this girl is like incredible. She is just like
amazing.
She's actually competed at the Arnold this last year in gymnastics. So this girl, she is just like a powerhouse. She trained with the best coaches. She's homeschooled. She actually practices. She does gymnastics 8 hours a day, and then comes home, and that's when she does her schooling for the rest of the night. So she travels all over the world and everything. Well, she was at some event, or she was with some girls and some guys at a party, like a birthday party. And one of the boys was saying that she was fat. Now, to her, she's not necessarily as thin as the other girls, but she's healthy because of the lifestyle that she's living. And imagine what that's like to tell a 9-year-old who's athletic, who's doing, you know, at the top of her game, as high as she could possibly go almost at 9 years old, that she's fat. You know what I mean? Like, that really messes with the young girl. And I think it could do the same for these magazines that the parents are keeping at the house.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That totally, you're bringing back memories for me, because when I was growing up and in gymnastics and I was in elementary school, we would have those physical fitness tests, and yep. I would outdo the boys every single time. I'd do like 30 pull-ups. I mean, for a little like 9, 10, 11-year-old girl, that's like amazing.
Exactly.
So I'm just pumping out these sit-ups and going for it. And like, I would get made fun of for being a boy. So my whole life, I've just been like, I always call myself a tomboy. Yeah, I'm a tomboy. I'm a tomboy. Yeah, I can, because basically these boys would challenge me and it made me feel insecure. But at the same time, of course, I wouldn't back down. So it's like, you know, I get, these boys are calling me a boy, and it's like, it screws with you. You think you're a boy the rest of your life. So I'm like, I always tell my girlfriends, I'm like, God, I think I was meant to be a dude, because seriously, sometimes I'm like, either a girl's acting dumb or a girl does something that's just so like ridiculous that I'm like, I would never even think to do that, or I would never even, and it just like, it's just, it does screw with you. It's very important when you're growing up, like little, like when the kids are little like that, that they aren't influenced by these magazines too, because you got Britney Spears on the cover. When I was growing up, Britney Spears was on the cover of all the magazines. Yep. She had the perfect body.
Yep.
It's like, okay, I'm supposed to look at it. Well, I don't look like that. I'm 8 years old and I have a shredded 8-pack. Like, I mean, at the time, I didn't think that was great because I didn't have the nice flat tummy. I had like a chiseled body.
Sure, sure. And for me, it was like I wanted the long blonde hair and the big boobs, because I was super thin, but I had no boobs, and I had, you know, a really bad haircut when I was, you know, like 13. I went super short, like shorter than I have it now. And so, you know, for me, I was like, oh God, these images of these beautiful girls, that's what beauty is supposed to be like. So I will say I do have a lot of respect for some of the other magazines that are out. And even, you know, just the way that some articles are written nowadays, and while I won't go as far as to say that some of the ads, like with Dove, you know, they came out with that Dove ad that was like, love your body, and it was a bunch of kind of a little bit overweight, thicker, out of shape women, like the normal real woman. I'm not going to go as far to say that I really like that, because I think that's just saying love your body however it is and don't try to make it the best that it can be. But at the same time, I like it that it's, you know, also not promoting, you know, starve yourself, because that's obviously not the healthy way to go.
Yeah, I think to be honest with you, for the commercials, they're headed in more, that company specifically is headed in a right direction, because you look at these high fashion models that all live in New York City and Europe and stuff, and it's like, that's a God-given genetic thing. That is not made. That body was not made. She did not make her body like that. That was given to her. Like, you were given a tall, lengthy body. I was given a tall, bulky body. Like, the thing is, when these companies use these models that are like 100 pounds and 6 foot tall, it's like, okay, you're promoting a weight loss product with this chick on here that's probably never taken a diet pill, drinks and eats whatever she wants, and it goes right through her just because of the fact that that's the way her genetics are.
Sure. And I think, you know, one last thing that we can say about it is it's the same way in the industry, I think, you know, when I first started, I wanted to be a figure competitor. My first two shows, I competed in figure. That's where I wanted to be. And still today, I wish that is where I could be. But I know that with my body type and the way my metabolism moves and the way that my limbs are, I have long limbs, it's going to take forever for me to be able to do that. And I'm going to have to take that to drastic measures and take stuff that I don't want to take in order to get to that point, because my body's just not naturally going to be able to do that. I'm at a max capacity almost with the type amount of muscle that I can have. So for me, it's never going to happen. Same thing with, you know, I train with Gail Auerbach. You know, she is a female bodybuilder. She's never going to be a figure competitor. She's, yeah, you know, the size that she is and the way that she looks, that's not going to happen. So she's never going to be a bikini competitor either. We joke about that all the time. You know, we got a bikini girl and a bodybuilding woman. bodybuilding female together every day, you know, 2 days a week training. We're never going to be each other. It's not going to happen with the way our bodies are designed. So you have to just, you know, once I realized a figure competitor was not anything I was going to be able to be, I thought, okay, instead I'm going to make my body the way that I want it to look, the best that I can look, and then figure out where my niche is. And I was lucky enough that my niche was bikini, but at the same time, that's what kind of what I tell clients, that's what I tell other people, you know, don't, you can't try to be something else because everyone's got their own story on their genetics and all that jazz. But the key is, you know, just to be the best that you possibly can be. Now I feel like I'm preaching. Now I feel like I'm, I've got like a Bible up in the air.
No, that's totally true. You just want to work with whatever physique you have, then you've got to work with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think everyone will definitely enjoy the interview with Nicole Ball. That's coming up next. Diana, I will see you this weekend.
This weekend.
Ah, I'm excited.
That's right, girl. I'll be cheering for you. I'll be there. And I'm going to be keeping an eye out for all the new pros.
Yes, there'll be quite a few more. We'll see the second round of women's physique pros too coming out the gate, as will the men's physique pros. So
you'll be my my competition here pretty soon.
Uh-oh.
You better watch out, girl.
We'll have to pick a show to do together.
Sounds great.
I like it. Cool. Well, everybody, just hang tight after the break. We will be right back.
Muscle Girls Inc., the next generation. Is pain during your workout slowing you down? Try Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Developed by Dr. Craig Banks, a chiropractor and a bodybuilder, Kodiak Chiropractic Cream is a topical formula that penetrates the skin and decreases inflammation and pain. Its unique blend of over 20 different natural anti-inflammatory ingredients has helped people across the country to work out with less pain. Kodiak is safe, effective, and it won't leave you smelling like a medicine cabinet either. A 4-ounce bottle is only $25 and lasts a long time, as a little goes a long way. To order your 2-month supply, call 330-678-2225 or go to KodiakCream.com. Get yours today and work out with less pain. KodiakCream.com. Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Ladies, enhance your mood, energy, and burn fat with Redline Princess. A landmark university study using Redline Princess on human subjects proved Redline Princess increased fat burning by 75%. Redline Princess burns fat by increasing metabolic rate. On average, test subjects using Redline Princess experienced an incredible 11.5% higher metabolic rate. Redline Princess, university proven to burn fat. Get great tasting Redline Princess and start burning fat today.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. Highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread. RX Muscle approved. Amp up your workout wardrobe with Physique Bodywear. Over 20 years of experience and over 300 styles to choose from and made in America. Visit PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com now and get fast shipping for all of your clothes. T-tops, tank tops, posing suits, muscle shirts, workout pants and shorts, and so much more. And don't worry about size. We've got all you hardcore freaks fully covered. Affordable prices, fast delivery with same day shipping. And if you order now, make sure to mention RXMuscle.com and save 10% off your first order. Call Physique Bodywear now at 845-473-4832 or order online at PhysiqueBodywearUSA.com. Physique Bodywear. We don't build champions, we dress them. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Welcome back to Muscle Girls Inc., and I am excited now to be joined with IFBB professional female bodybuilder Nicole Ball. Nicole, thanks for coming on with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
So we've had quite a few requests to have you on, so I think a lot of people are eager to hear from you today, so I'm excited we'll be able to talk a lot about your prep. We'll be talking a lot about what got you into female bodybuilding in the first place. And the whole gamut. But first of all, now you're getting ready for the Toronto show, correct?
Yes, we fly out on Wednesday, and one stage prep will be there Friday.
How are you feeling going into this show compared to maybe the last few times you've competed?
I always feel good about going to the shows. I never really have the mindset of, I don't allow myself to play games. You know, I've done what I need to do. I've listened to what I've been told to do in order to get to the stage. And then, you know, that's all I can bring. So I never really allow myself to, I try not to allow myself to be negative or to worry about stuff or, you know, try to keep more of that positive mind frame because, you know, everybody works just as hard to get on that stage. And I think it becomes more of a battle if you allow it to, if you think about too many things, if you think about how you are, all your competition. And that's something I never, ever do. I'm only as good as my competition and as good as I allow myself to be. So I feel great. Body-wise, I really, really like what I see this year. There were some changes that I was kind of brought forth last year by some of the people on the IFBB and judging, changes they'd like to see. And I honestly feel this year that I can bring that.
Now, do you usually, I guess I want to know what type of diet do you usually do? Obviously, you don't have to give us all the secrets, but is your body carb sensitive or do you usually do something related to like a keto diet or do you do a combination of both?
I've done keto for the last 4 years. And this last year, I'm not saying, like, I've been happy with my look every year on stage. The difference is the judges want to see something different. I keep coming looking the same without looking like I put on any size or any fullness or hardness. And so for ketosis, I've done for 4 years. This year, I decided to go back to carbs. I have not done carbohydrates on a pro stage since my pro debut 5 years ago.
Wow.
So I honestly feel that it's really brought back. I think the keto was good for me for a break. And now that I have come back to carbohydrates, my body is really utilizing the carbs.
I think that's good. You know, maybe your body will react a little differently now because you haven't had carbs for so long during a prep. You know, are you thinking maybe you'll fill out a little bit differently too whenever you go to, you know, the day before the show?
Absolutely. Like comparing pictures from this year to last year, there's no comparison so far a week out of a show. So hopefully I have all the trust in my trainer. He's been absolutely amazing with me this year. And you know what? He knows the stuff. So as long as I do my job, I will come in as good as my body can handle the diet.
Now, for people that may not know the story about, you know, when you started in the industry, when you started competing and all of that, tell us a little bit about what it was about bodybuilding that drew you to the sport. You know, like I said, I spoke with Colette and I spoke with, you know, a few other female bodybuilders. Haley McNeff was one of them, that female bodybuilding isn't exactly a mainstream sport. So what was it about it that kind of brought you to the stage?
I always saw myself as kind of following the sports side of, you know, the athletic look. I've always liked that look. Being track and field and stuff growing up, that was always, you know, it was always in my mind. I liked that. But when I decided I needed something that was going to be absolutely totally opposite of what I was doing on the mindset of the food. So from being bulimic, bodybuilding was another total extreme of it. My food was such an important part to get into me mentally, physically. And so I decided to give it a try. I was a vegan before I started bodybuilding. So, you know, having to take my first meat and stuff was, it was hard. You know, and to this day, of course, I would never turn back. I was doing my very first show. I just couldn't get over that, you know, eating meat. So I did it on like 6 to 8 pounds of tuna a day. And I ended up dieting for 24 weeks my first show. And then I kind of just brought myself into kind of experiment a little bit more with meat. And, you know, here I am today. But bodybuilding was just, to me, such, it took so much dedication. It took so much concentration. It was just so much mind frame to be strong. And that was all the stuff that I was lacking in when I allowed myself to come bulimic. So it was just kind of an easy route for me to fall into. You know, easy on the fact that I could see myself improve in my life, but yet so hard for me to focus in order to gain that mental strength back.
What was it like the first, the first time you decided that you were going to start, you know, kind of trying to heal yourself from getting over the bulimia and all of those issues? Did you have a team of people, like a good support system, or was it something that you really had to kind of internalize and focus on and had to do it yourself?
Well, my family, like I have 3 brothers and a sister, my parents, of course, and they're absolutely my biggest supporters, my biggest fans. I have a group of friends who are so phenomenal too, but my family knew something was wrong with me, and of course I've never admitted it, and nobody in any type of mental state will admit there's something wrong with them. So they kind of knew from day one, and when I got into bodybuilding, they were there for me. You know, from the first time I told them that I was going to do it, the gentleman who actually I've been with for the last 11 years, he's been my support group from day one. You know, off season, it doesn't matter. He's 110% supportive. He's there for all my shows. And, you know, when I feel like rebounding, he's there to keep me strong. And so I never struggled with the fact that I had nobody. I always had my family and Jeff, friends. Was it hard at first? Absolutely, because you see your body changing. And from being bulimic for 4 years, I saw myself rebound. I was a size 00, and I saw myself rebound to 16 plus in less than 6 months. So, yeah, the rebound, that alone was as much of a mental struggle as anything.
Sure.
To see your body go from such transformation. So when I started dieting down to my first show, saw the changes, right away it became another addiction for me.
That is a story I think that a lot of people can appreciate. You know, we were talking about, my co-host and I, Diana and I, were talking about that on the show too, about, you know, eating disorders and things like that, how it takes such strength, especially when, you know, you're trying to live a healthier lifestyle. You're not just wanting to put on weight. You have an end goal in mind that you want to step on stage. And I think it's that end goal that may help motivate you to kind of push through the struggles. Do you think that probably helped in your journey?
Absolutely. And, you know, for anybody who's in this sport, I think so many people in the public, they respect it, but they just don't quite understand the whole dedication side of it. So I think for anyone in this sport, it is a struggle. Absolutely it is. Does the end result help? It does. But there's so many struggles between that, I think mentally, physically, for almost anybody getting ready for a show, that to have a support team there is extremely, extremely important, even if you do have that mindset that you're going to be on stage.
That's a very, very good point. Now, I want to ask you something, too, and I know maybe a few people out there may know that, maybe more than others, but those who don't know, you actually used to own your own restaurant. Is that correct?
I did. I opened up a restaurant. I was in a small town, and, of course, in a small town, you always have your burger and fry joint. So I was a small restaurant that had, no MSGs, no oils. There's no deep-fried food. Everything was steamed or grilled, and that was it, and it was great. It's phenomenal.
Now, how long did you have the restaurant, and then what kind of transitioned you out of only owning the restaurant and into another career?
We ended up deciding. I opened a restaurant. I had it for just over 2 years. I had my restaurant. I had 4 and 5 close fine dining in the evenings and weekends. And, of course, I had a catering company, too. But then we ended up moving to a larger facility, which was, like, my small town was, like, 600 people. We moved to a larger facility of, like, 10,000 people. So for us, it was a big move. And it was a 3-hour drive, so we ended up selling the restaurant and moving to the larger center. And just the startup cost in the larger center was so expensive, so I decided to just go back to the personal training.
Do you find with personal training in your case, do you get a lot of female bodybuilders, or has it kind of dwindled over the years? Because I know, you know, as I've talked with a lot of the other gals, you know, the shift of female bodybuilding is changing. So have you seen that in your clients maybe over the last few years?
No, like I don't do a lot of clients for stage prep. I work with a lot of people, just everyday people who want to lose weight, want to gain muscle. So just pretty much your normal gym clientele. I just started working with a few people this past year for on stage prep. I say I have a split between male and female bodybuilders and figure girls.
Now, I was talking with Charles Glass. Him and I traveled together internationally a couple times this year, and he said that he almost prefers the everyday, you know, kind of stay-at-home moms or the soccer moms or all the people who are just everyday people, because they tend to work a little harder sometimes than the bodybuilders or the competitors, because he said that the competitors think that they know everything. It's the everyday people that kind of appreciate the knowledge that that the trainer, like you or like him, can give to others. So is it easy working with the everyday person when you're training?
Oh, God, it's much easier. I have to totally agree with him. There seems, you know, when the average everyday person who does not follow the bodybuilding world, fitness figure world, and doesn't really know the extreme side of sport, I just feel that those people have a much more of a lower appreciation for someone like myself in an IFBB position. They look up to it more. They want to understand more. For someone who's, you know, you have the people who've competed once, and you can't tell them nothing because they've been on stage. And I do honestly agree that the everyday people just seem to have a little bit more of respect when it comes to lifting and doing as your acronym for you.
Now, how is it, too, when you're getting ready for a show, the type of schedule that you keep? Because I know, you know, personal trainers, the schedule is kind of sometimes all day, it's sometimes half of a day. When I was talking with Haley McNeff last week, you know, her schedule is completely backwards than the normal person. So what's it like for you prepping for a show and then at the same time having to help so many people at the same time?
When I'm getting ready for show like Toronto here, I don't take clients. I only start my clients at 8:00 instead of 6:00.
Okay.
So 6 to 7 is pretty much my time to, you know, get my food and get at least my hour of cardio under 40 minutes of cardio in the morning or whatever I'm hitting at. And then I start taking my clients at 8:00, and then I always take a 2-hour break in the afternoon from 2 to 4 for my own personal workout, and then I usually work till 7 or 8 at night.
That's good. That way you can make time for yourself. So do you find that your clients usually, are they usually okay with that when they know you're getting ready for a show?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? When you're, like, I work in a really small gym. I used to work in a larger facility, and I just found that in a larger facility, there was just too much going on. There's too much talk. It just wasn't as focused on the reason why people should be there. So I moved to a really small gym, which is only like, maybe 1,500, 1,200 square feet. My athletes love it. Everyone goes there for a reason. And so they know me. They see my body transforming into, you know, whatever I'm doing, like Toronto show. And every day they just have a thing of respect. You know, if I ever had to cancel, oh gosh, they'd be so understanding.
That's good. That way, you know, they understand the lifestyle that you live. They understand the sacrifices that you have to make. And in turn, they'll make a few sacrifices here or there to make sure, you know, you're where you need to be, too.
Well, for some of them, you know, they have problems being there for two to three days a week. So knowing that someone like myself is there all day, plus training 6 days a week, you know, it also keeps them inspired.
Very good point. Now, last question. If you had to give us some words of wisdom or some Nicole Ball's, you know, quote of the day or inspirational suggestion of the day to any of the female competitors, or even just females in general that are listening, that are kind of either struggling with an eating disorder or struggling with competing or their weight or anything like that, what advice would you give them?
You know, most people in that predicament, of course, have obviously a lack of self-respect, self-esteem. They see that the world comes down upon them for everything, or if someone's talking or walking past them, they always feel the negativity towards them. They don't feel there seems to be a cloud above them that does not allow that positive energy to flow through, or they've never been in the predicament they are. And I'm not embarrassed to admit I was there. When you have a disorder like that, it's not an embarrassment. It's something you need to hear, you need to talk about, you need to pull through. Because God's on truth, the ones who really care and love you, they know. And you are hurting them more than you're hurting yourself in the long run, because they are watching you do whatever you're doing to yourself. You know, you have to realize, you know, when you feel like it's one person, you feel like that you are not, you're not good enough, you're not worth it, you have to realize that there's a world of people, there's a bunch of people out there that you're the world to. So when you feel like one person, you're the world to so many others, and you mean so much to others, and that's what you have to step out of your embarrassment zone that you're in and share and become better, and you have to turn to the ones who care about you.
Perfect. I think a lot of women can take everything that you said to heart. So, Nicole, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know we will all be looking out for you. When the show is on air, it'll be this weekend. I know. So we'll definitely be looking out for you, and hopefully we'll get some good news. And hopefully, too, this isn't the last time that we'll have you on the show.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Nicole.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is a presentation of RxMuscle.com.